Anya! Here!
Anya tossed her shovel onto the dirt hill beside the hole she'd dug and joined Wang Fu. Enough light remained that they didn't need flashlights, but they would soon enough. The air was turning colder, and their breath hung in the air like fog before them. Dropping to her knees, Anya looked at the rib cage Wang Fu had uncovered. Carrion beetles had stripped the bones of flesh before the earth had claimed the body, and soot still stained the ivory. She removed her digital camera from her backpack and took several pictures as Wang Fu stood by impatiently.
We'll take pictures as we go. We can search through them later. They might help us discover anything we missed.
Anya returned the camera to the backpack and turned back to the skeleton. She slipped her gloved hands around the bones and gently began disinterring them. She placed them carefully beside the hole, arranging them in the general form of a single skeleton. Finding the pelvis, Anya moved upwards, searching for the skull.
Do these bones belong only to one man?
So far.
I can help.
Keep the bones in order as we find them.
Why?
We'll learn more if we do. How many people were in here? Maybe who they were. If we post this on the internet, we might find others who are looking for lost family members. Information works best if it's kept neat and arranged.
Anya found the skull and lifted it free of the earth.
Your ancestor might have escaped that night.
According to the journal that came into my possession, that did not happen. Ban Zexu died here.
Judging from the roundness of this skull and the arched profile and widely spaced round eye sockets, this person was of Mongoloid descent.
Chinese?
That's one possibility. Pathology isn't an exact science when it comes to race. We can identify the three different racial characteristics of Caucasian, Mongoloid, and Negroid.
Anya handed Wang Fu the skull, noting that the man took it without hesitation. That was an unusual reaction for most people when they were confronted with such a situation. She knew beginner archaeologists who took years to get over the queasiness of handling dead bones fresh from a dig. Wang Fu placed the skull at the top of the skeleton they were building. Anya continued sifting, going back toward the pelvic region now. Noting the narrowness of the pelvis and the sciatic notch, she could also tell that the remains were male. Pathology was more exact about sex and age. Below the pelvis, there was a leather bag that hadn't yet rotted away. But her attention was riveted on a rectangular shape beside it that poked from the surface. Lifting it from the ground, she brushed the dirt away, revealing an old-fashioned belt plaque. The piece was finely designed and engraved with a stylized tiger, poised with its ears flattened to its head and one clawed paw raised to strike. Scythian art stylings, picked up by some of the people they traded with, including the Chinese, often showed fierce animals.
Let me see.
Anya was loath to let go of the prize. The memory of the tattoo hidden on Wang Fu's arm disturbed her thoughts and took away some of the joy of discovery.
What was that?
The unmistakable ratcheting of a rifle bolt seating around in the chamber caused Anya and Wang Fu to freeze. Glancing up toward the sound, Anya saw three armed men emerge from the gathering darkness. All three of the men looked scruffy. Patched jeans, hoodies, dirty boots, and coats clothed them and lent them the aura of a predatory pack. They were young, maybe in their early 20s, but they were old enough to point a gun. Looking into their red and glassy eyes, Anya didn't need to take a huge leap of logic to guess that they were under the influence of something. In the thin, cold air, she smelled the acrid odor of marijuana and the cloying stink of horse sweat. The thickest of the three carried a semi-automatic. He aimed the rifle with grim authority, pointing it at Wang Fu. Beside her, the Chinese man shifted slightly, just enough to get his footing and redistribute his weight. The three young men didn't notice.
I told you I saw somebody out here, Dylan.
Shut up, Beef. I can see them. I got eyes.
Do you think they've been out to the patch?
Shut up, Neville. I swear you two are such idiots. What are you doing out here?
We're archaeologists. We were sent here to find these bodies.
Anya gestured toward the skeleton beside her, and Beef stepped closer in to get a view of the bones. He kicked the skull with the toe of his boot and sent it rolling towards Dylan's foot. Dylan picked it up, hooking his fingers through the eye sockets and his thumb through the mouth. He mimed swinging it like a bowling ball.
Cool!
Strike!
I think I'll put this in my room and put candles in it. It'll be awesome.
Wait, why are you out here looking for skeletons?
These people were Chinese. Their families found out they were murdered here and want to lay them to rest back home.
Anya felt another slight shift in Wang Fu's stance, aware of it only because she'd been involved in martial arts for years.
That's all you're doing out here?
Yes.
You aren't, like, police?
No.
God, that was a dumb question.
Why?
Well, for one, they could, like, lie to you.
Police have got to tell the truth.
Dude, I don't know what planet you're from, but my brother's a cop, and they can lie to everybody.
That don't seem right. I mean, a police guy has to tell you he's a police guy.
And two, now they know we've got a reason to worry about the police up here. We gotta kill them now, dude. They've seen our faces. Anybody finds out we're growing pot up here, we're gonna go to prison this time.
They already dug the hole for us. Kill the dude first.
Beef shifted his rifle to center over Huang Fu's chest. Unable to stand by while the man was killed, Anya surged up from the hole. She stayed low, diving toward Beef because she believed the other two would fire their weapons after he did. Catching the big man around the waist in a flying tackle, she spilled to the ground with the young man in a tangle of arms and legs. Rolling, Anya came up in a crouch, taking in the scene before her in disbelief. Dylan collapsed only a few feet away, his face covered in blood. Wang Fu, low to the ground and in motion, held a small black pistol in his fist. Neville staggered back, gazing down at his chest in astonishment. Two tiny flowers blossomed blood red over his heart.
Ugh! Very, very uncool, dude!
Stunned, Anya didn't notice a heavy kick sent by Beef until his foot was only inches from her face. By then, it was too late to avoid the blow. She twisted her head in an effort to partially deflect the impact and succeeded. The blow was painful enough, however, and her vision clouded briefly. Dylan had struggled to his feet and went scrambling for a pistol in the waistband of his pants. Wang Fu took aim and fired again. The two bullets caught Dylan in the chest, causing him to stagger backwards, but not fall. He brought his pistol up in both hands and fired. The bullet sheared a tree branch only inches from Wang Fu's head. Dylan's knees buckled, and he fell face first onto the ground. As fast as this could happen, Wang Fu had swung his pistol towards Anya. It was pointed directly at her head. With the three assailants neutralized, Anya began to assess the situation. Thus far, Wang Fu had acted only to save them. Regardless, Anya knew she was in grave danger now. Trusting her instincts, she dodged behind the nearest tree. A bullet tore bark from the trunk and spewed splinters across her cheek. Taking off into the brush, she crashed deeper into the forest surrounding Volcanoville. The sun was setting to the west, steeping the forest in darkness. She headed in that direction, knowing the long shadows and the loss of depth perception against the fading brightness would make her a harder target. Taking brief respite in a hollow between two large fir trees dug in tight against the hillside, Anya realized she was still holding the items from the dig site. She shoved the belt plaque into the leather pouch, then tied the pouch to her belt. Metal clicked inside, and she guessed that some of the contents were coins. Anya strained her ears in the silence, searching out Wang Fu or any other threat. The man emerged from the darkness with the pistol in his hand, and Anya sank deeper into the shadows. She knew that any movement would make her visible. Wang Fu stopped beside a tree, his breath puffing out in front of him. He lifted his left hand, and Anya could make out a satellite phone. He didn't lift the phone to his ear, so Anya could only assume he was sending a coded message in numbers. A sinking sensation coiled through her stomach. She was a long way from help, and it was not likely that Wang Fu was dialing 911. She saw him slide the phone back into his pack.
Miss Creed! Miss Creed!
Anya let her breath out, knowing she had to keep breathing in order to keep from hyperventilating. Her fight-or-flight instinct surged madly, but she kept it in check.
Miss Creed, you should come out. There's been a mistake. I'm not going to hurt you. I panicked, that's all.
Anya watched the man moving carefully through the forest. He took advantage of cover and stayed within the shadows. She thought he moved like a man with special forces training. She hadn't been around those men often in her life, but there had been occasion at some dig sites to talk to them. Many ex-soldiers had moved into security work. He took three more steps, then vanished into the shadows. Anya didn't feel comforted by his disappearance. At least she knew where he was when she had him in sight. Anya reached for her sword. She felt the grip against her palm, then pulled it from the other wearer. Anya had found the last piece of the sword while in France, but she hadn't known what it was then. Rue, who claimed to be over 500 years old, had spent his entire life tracking down the pieces of Joan of Arc's sword. He'd stolen the last piece from Anya in France, but it hadn't been until she had touched all the pieces that it once again became whole. Rue claimed that the sword brought a legacy with it, unfinished business that Joan had never had the chance to take care of. Anya didn't know if she believed that, but she did know that her life had changed after the sword had come into her possession. In the stillness of the night, she considered her options. People knew she and Huang Fu had come out to Volcanoville, park rangers and a handful of Georgetown residents, but they might not think anything was amiss until morning, if then. She was going to have to save herself. She hated the thought of leaving her backpack behind. Her notebook computer had a lot of information, pictures as well as writing she'd done, that she hadn't yet backed up. Furthermore, all of the information on Huang Fu Cao was on that computer. Bart may have had an odd couple of pictures saved, but those might not be enough to help find the man if he succeeded in killing her. She also had a satellite phone in her backpack. All she had to do was grab the backpack, or at least the phone, and stay hidden in the forest long enough for help to arrive. She took a quick breath, concentrating on the sure weight of the sword in her hand. Anya moved out of her hiding spot reluctantly, then headed back up the hillside. She stayed within the brush, using every available scrap of it for cover. Her eyes swept her surroundings for Huang Fu. Thankfully, her backpack was out of the way at the edge of the tree line. She jogged over, stopping a few feet from the backpack, and squatted to survey the ground. Huang Fu wasn't anywhere to be seen. The three dead men remained where they'd fallen. All of their weapons were missing. Cao must have come back this way. Easing forward, Anya stayed low. When she reached the tree line, she stretched and grabbed one of her backpack straps. Suddenly, she felt someone's eyes on her. Her senses and instincts seemed to have sharpened since she found Joan's sword. Anya jerked sideways and took off running. A bright yellow muzzle flash broke the darkness hovering over the grave. Bullets tore through the trees over Anya's head and blasted divots from the ground in front of her. She spun and slung the backpack across her shoulders, managing to get only one arm through a strap. Running down the incline, she pushed off the trees with her free hand and blocked brush and small branches from her face. Immediately, the horse smell lingering on the three young men shot into Anya's mind. Shifting directions, she headed toward the sound of the animals. In her haste, she lost track of her footing. Reflexively, she pulled the backpack to her and rolled, landing on her side and cushioning the impact. As she let go of the sword, it disappeared into the otherwhere on its own. Anya surged to her feet again and pulled the leather bag she'd discovered on the dig from her belt and stuffed it into a cushioned pocket of her pack. Bullets ricocheted from a tree trunk to her left, leaving white scars behind. She turned right and vanished behind a wall of pine trees that grew closely together. She hoped that distant helicopter contained park rangers, but immediately dismissed the thought. Park rangers didn't fly around in helicopters unless there was an emergency, and they probably couldn't get one on such short notice. There was a small airfield in Georgetown, though. It wouldn't have been a problem to put a private craft there on call. her mind suddenly filled with nasty suspicions about Huang Fu's message from earlier. Anya ran, weaving through trees, staying so close to them at times that she collected an assortment of abrasions and bruises from glancing contact. Timing her strides, she managed to sling the backpack across her shoulders, leaving her arms free to pump and lengthen her stride. The helicopter came into view through the trees. It was a sleek, corporate aircraft, black-gray against the starry sky under the pallor of the three-quarter moon. The helicopter coasted over the tops of the trees less than 100 feet away, its rotor wash bending the treetops. Two men hung out of the sides of the helicopter. Both of them had assault rifles.
I guess this isn't about Banzai Shu.
Cutting around a wall of brush growing through the tangled remains of a fallen tree, Anya found three horses standing in a small clearing. All of them were saddled. The bridle reins were tied to the branches of the fir tree in front of them. The horses flattened their ears and pulled at the reins in an effort to get free. The helicopter had them spooked. As Anya ran up to the closest one, the horse reared up to defend itself. The front hooves kicked the air.
Whoa! Easy! Easy!
Anya caught hold of the bridle halter and held onto the horse's head, guiding it back down onto all fours. She knew the animal probably couldn't hear her over the noise of the helicopter. From the corner of her eye, she saw the aircraft swing around and start a pass back in her direction. She untied the reins and prepared to pull herself onto the saddle. The horse reared again, twisting violently to the left and shying away from her. Suddenly, the bright light of a lantern cut through the darkness and stripped the shadows away. When it fell across Anya, she knew the bullets wouldn't be far behind. The horse continued pulling away from her, and that helped save her life. Wang Fu stepped from the trees with both hands on his small pistol.
I don't want to have to kill you, Miss Creed. I will, though. All I want is the...
Anya smacked the horse in the rear and let slack into the reins. Muscles bunching, the animal sprinted away from the helicopter sound and straight toward Wang Fu. The sharp hooves cut divots from the ground. Sprinting alongside the horse, staying close while she gripped the pommel and the rear of the saddle, Anya lifted both feet and swung them into Wang Fu as he fired at her. Her feet crashed into his chest and knocked the man from his feet. Oh! Dropping to the ground again, Anya took three strides, got a rhythm, and heaved herself atop the horse. She had to duck immediately to avoid a low-hanging limb that scraped painfully along her back. The men aboard the helicopter opened fire. Every third round was a purple tracer. They were wide of her and behind the horse, but she knew they'd quickly correct their aim. She kicked the horse's sides, urging it to faster speed. Though she knew it was foolhardy in the darkness, she was out of time to be careful about her escape. The horse rolled beneath her, shifting as it read the terrain and dodged trees. The aircraft dipped. Too late, Anya realized that she was about to run out of tree cover. She tried to alter the horse's direction, but the animal was crazed with fear. Riding braced in the stirrups, her weight balanced on her feet instead of sitting in the saddle, Anya reached for the sword again. She'd no more than thought about it, wished she was holding it, when she had it gripped in her hand. As Anya burst from the tree line into the clearing, the helicopter pilot swooped in low, almost touching the ground. Glancing over her shoulder, Anya saw the man on the right side of the helicopter swing out wide, depending on the umbilical that connected him to the aircraft as he kept his feet on the skids. She ducked beneath him as he tried to grab her. The helicopter cruised by like a shark, and only a short distance ahead, it swung around in a full 180. The man hung farther outside the aircraft. Anya didn't try to dodge the helicopter. Instead, at the last possible minute, she lifted high in the stirrups and swung the sword up and across the man's midsection. The sharp blade cut through flesh with ease. She got a glimpse of the man's surprised face, then she was past him. Glancing over her shoulder, she saw him suddenly dangle from the line that kept him tied to the helicopter. The aircraft jerked a little as the pilot corrected for the sudden dead weight. Anya stayed low over the saddle and the horse's neck. The animal stumbled over loose rock and almost went down. Twisting in the saddle, she saw the helicopter hovering above the treetops. The body at the end of the line jerked and flailed its limbs as someone hauled it back into the helicopter. Anya willed the sword away. Steering the horse toward a thick copse of trees, she waited until the animal slowed to navigate the thick press of brush, then leapt off. The horse kept going, but Anya hit the ground and rolled. brush and tail grass slapped at her, leaving stinging lacerations in their wake. She protected her backpack as much as she could. Then she was up on her feet, pushing and shoving her way through the forest at a 90-degree angle to the path the horse had taken. Anya kept running even after the helicopter passed by in pursuit of the horse. When she couldn't run anymore, she dropped to her knees and laced her hands over her head to open her lungs. As she watched the helicopter sailing above the treetops with a finger of illumination reaching down from a searchlight, Anya hoped the horse was just hitting its stride and wasn't going to stop anytime soon. Then she reached into her pack for her phone.